Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Jai Gopi Janna Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Sodanandana Bajajana Ranjana Sodanandana Bajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Varachari Jamuna Tira Varachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Sodanandana Bajajana Ranjana Sodanandana Bajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Varachari Jamuna Tira Varachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari जय ओम शिवाय परमहंस परिव्राज तरुज श्री श्रीमद आ भाई शानिंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय स्कंद फाउंडर चाय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गिरिधर शिवा श्री गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री श्री राधा माधव गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कंद राधा कंद गिरि गौरान की जय श्री वृंदावन सिंह मथुर धाम की नवदीप से मायापुर धाम की श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंग माई जमुन माई की जय तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय सांग वेद भक्त बिंद की जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की युग राम नाम संकीर्तन की श्रीमद भागवत धाम की जय जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, this morning we're reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, entitled What Prahlad Learned in the Room, in the Womb. Sorry, the Room of the Womb. Text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sharam yata gravasu hemakara. Sharam yata gravasu hemakara. Shetre shi yoga istad abhigna apnuti yati. Shetreshu yoga stat abhigna ap nuyat. Shetreshu deheshu tatat mayogir. Shetreshu deheshu tatat mayogir. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatinda bheta. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. Svanam yata gravasu hemakara. Shatreshu yoga stada bhiknyan apnuyat. Shatreshu deheshu tadatma yoga. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. Svarnam yata gravasu hemakara. Shetreshu yoga stad abhigna apnuyat. Shetreshu deheshu tatatma yoga. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. Saram yata grasu hemakara. Kreshi yodai sarvikyanya. Shetreshu deheshu tatatma yoga. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. Svaram yata gravasu hemakara. Shetreshu yoga sarvikya apnuyat. Shetreshu deheshu tatatma yoga. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta. Svaram yata gravasu hemakara. Shetreshu yoga sarvikya apnuyat. Shetreshu tatatma yoga. Adhyatma vidbrahma gatim labheta.
Maharaji.
Sam yata grava shuhema kara Cheshu yoga ista abhignai apnuyat Chetrasu deheshu tatatma yoga Adhyatma vibhrama katim labheta Saham yata grava shuhema kara Deshu yoga stava vidna apyat Chitreshu deheshu tata atma yoga Adhyatma vibhrama katim labheta Tanam yata grava shuhema kara Deshu yoga stada vika apayat Deshu deshu tata atma yoga Vibhrama katim labheta Swarnam, gold, yata, just as, gravasu, in the stones of gold ore, hemakaraha, the expert who knows about gold, chitreshu, in the gold mines, yogahe, by various processes. Tat abhignya, an expert who can understand where gold is. Apnuyat, very easily obtains. Kshetreshu, within the material fields. Deheshu, the human bodies, and all the rest of the 8,400,000 different forms, different bodily forms. Tatha, similarly, atma yoga, by spiritual processes, adhyatma vit, one who is expert in understanding the distinction between spirit and matter. Brahma gatim, perfection in spiritual life. Labheta, may obtain. Translation. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Please repeat. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold, and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert, cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called jnanis, philosophers and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin tat vijnanartham sagarun eva bighachet. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold in stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. Here it is said, yogaistad abhijñaha. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spiritual soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic conception of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. As an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money and dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore. An expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system, or finally in the bhakti yoga system. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, Bhakti Mama Bijanati. Unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching Dehi nosmin yata dehi kaumaram jovanam chara tatha dehantara praptir irastacha namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Thus the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding this science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily conception of life or the animalistic conception of life. As confirmed in the Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasatma Buddhiya Kunape, Tridha Duke, Saeva Gokaraha. Every member of the human society should clearly understand the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. For only in this way one can be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false illusory knowledge by which one thinks I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine. This dogish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit God, who are eternally related. Thus one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. End of purport. Om Aganam Tanandasya Ganan Ganan Salakaya Chakshu Lamitam Latasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadine Nevishesha Shunnavari Vastarazadharini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation again, an expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body, and thus by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. This section, Sri Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his friends, his school friends. This in this section is he's instructing them in Atma Tattva for 10 verses or so. He's talking about trying to explain the difference between the soul and the body. Previously, in the previous chapter, he was explaining about the ways of materialistic life, the Grihamedi, how people become so attached to this world, to this life, and they become completely illusioned. And he's given so many different examples. Here he's given examples also, we heard yesterday and before, how the tree was one example. The tree, it gives the fruits, the flowers, the leaves, they come and they go, and they come and they go, and they come and they go, while the tree remains. So the soul remains in the bodies, they come and they go, and they come and they go. So one has to, this is the basic understanding. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the first lessons are lessons on the distinction between the soul and the body. Now that is considered knowledge, spiritual knowledge. How to distinguish spirit from matter, that is considered actual real spiritual knowledge. And that is the purpose or the bonus of the human form of life, because in all the other species of life lower than this human-like form, then they can't have this knowledge. There's no inclination to ask this knowledge, where am I? So therefore the Vedanta Sutras start in the beginning. But now you have this human form of life. Now is the time to inquire into the absolute truth. Others, they cannot do it. So, and if you don't, it says if you don't, in Bhagavatam especially, Bhagavatam is more direct, and if you don't, you're considered like every other living entity, like the animals. Two-legged animal. If you're not using the intelligence, extra intelligence that we have as a human being to understand the fundamental principles of life, of existence, then you're considered a two-legged animal. Heavy words. Go this
sloka.
Prabhupada quoted the part of the shloka that so eva gokara, that one who thinks the land of his birth, you know, his kinsman and who is his own, and the body is his body, is no better than the cow or an ass. that's the consideration. Otherwise, what is the difference, actually? What do we gain any more than the animals. Animals eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Huh? That's all the animals and other lower forms do, the moving forms. So if we do this, if we do the same thing, if our life is dedicated to those four things which we see in the mature world, it is. You know, what else is going on besides eating, sleeping, trying to enjoy and defending? There's nothing else is going on. These are the principles that motivate everyone. They're forced to, more or less forced to act and compelled to act in that way. So then really, what is the difference? Whether you have a human form or an animal form, you're getting the same amount of you're putting in the same amount of endeavor, getting the same amount of happiness and distress. Whatever form you take, you really can't change that according to your karma. But you're just in any form, and you think life is not so bad. So then, therefore, we consider it animals if we don't try to understand what is the spiritual values, the difference. So this is a theme that's going on for the next few shlokas, for the next few days. Srila Prabhupada in the second canto, second chapter, entitled The Lord in the Heart, text 35, Prabhupada gives a breakdown how it's not difficult to understand that one is the body, that one is the soul, sorry. This is a question that's often asked. The shloka is the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, along with the individual soul, along with us. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized with our acts of seeing and taking help from intelligence. So Srila Prabhupada starts off in this purport that there's an argument that since the Lord is not visible, how can you surrender to Him? If you don't know Him, if you can't see Him, how can you surrender to Him or serve Him if you can't understand Him? So he says here is some practical suggestions how to understand the existence of the soul and the existence of the super soul can be understood by intelligence. Of course, Sri Prabhupada starts the Lord is actually not perceivable by material senses. But when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, then there's a revelation by the Lord's mercy. Then you become a pure devotee, then you can perceive the Lord everywhere. So this is the bottom line is actually it's the Lord's mercy. It's revelation, means something is revealing to us. Someone is given that understanding, given that realization, and that is a person that is coming from the super soul. But why should the Lord give to one person and not another? What is the qualification of receiving that mercy, that understanding? And that is, as mentioned, it's a practical service attitude. It means devotion towards Krishna, faith in the Lord, and then accepting the fact that we are the servant of the Lord, and then actually endeavoring to serve Him. That is a formula for evoking the Lord's mercy. Not many people do it. And that is why only the devotees, Krishna says, Bhakti Mahama Vijaya, I can only be known by devotion. That is why the jnanis, they cannot know Him, and the philosophers, they cannot know Him, because they don't follow the process that He says, how He can be known. He can be known by devotion, by serving Him, by having a favorable attitude towards Him. But first of all, by believing in Him, accepting Him. If you don't do that, then you can't move forward. Nobody's ever come self-realized, or God-realized, without going through a particular discipline. So this is a discipline. It's given by the Lord. It's a formula you follow. If you don't follow, you don't get the result. So it's like that. So therefore, even the scholars, they're bewildered, right? They've been searching for the truth. There's so many, the libraries are full of books. Your universities are full of different books, of different philosophies trying to understand the truth. But nobody actually comes to the proper understanding of the truth because they don't follow the process. Krishna is protected. Devotion is, Krishna is protected from non-devotees, so they're not allowed entrance into the association of the Lord unless they develop a proper attitude. So what to speak of the atheists, they can never ever know, because first of all they don't believe in God, so they're obviously not going to follow a process which requires devotion to God or faith in God. So they'll never understand. So this is the situation. So this is the bottom line. So that's the position we want to come to. But as far as our own endeavor, this practical application and this knowledge, knowledge means how to distinguish spirit from matter, in general terms, that is. So how do we? It means some contemplation. It means use of intelligence. So the Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, he says it's not difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. So you can feel, you can perceive your own identification, right? You feel that I exist, you know that I exist, right? That's the first thing. And then we can understand that with intelligence, that I'm existing, I'm perceiving, but what I'm perceiving is not me. And he gives example of the hand and the leg, and the eyes and the, you know, they're my eyes, they're my hands, they're my legs, it's my body, so who am I? So we're making a distinction between the self and the body. So this is the basic, the ABCs. This is what Krishna is teaching in the Bhagavad Gita, in the first lessons to Arjuna. So at this point you conclude that there is the seer. It means I am the seer, I'm seeing everything. And then there is the seeing, everything else. I'm different from everything else. But at the same time, although I'm different from these things, I have no power to move or to act independently of these things. Without the tongue, I cannot speak. Although I'm not the tongue, I'm different from the tongue. Although with the eyes we cannot see, without ears we cannot hear. Without the arms and legs we cannot move and work. So though we separated ourselves from them, but still we feel that we're conditioned by these. We need this energy, this material nature, to express ourselves. How can you express yourself without your senses? Even though we've understood by intelligence that we're not the senses, we're not the body, but still we have a problem. Who are we? We don't know that. We know what we're not. Neti, the process, not this, not this. You go through the whole dictionary, say, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. And when you run out of words, objects, then you can understand I'm different, I'm something else. But we're dependent or conditioned by, this is what it means by conditioned. So we need it, right? We don't have enough realization. We're not so advanced that we don't have to rely on the senses. We hear of some people who are super, you know, self-realized, they're indifferent. Although they're still in the body, they're completely indifferent to it. they're not dependent on it. And they're not forced to act like we are. They're not forced to eat, sleep, and try to enjoy and try to defend. We're forced to do those things by the very nature of this material world. Forced. It's a place of actually suffering for the soul. Krishna says, right? So you're forced to do these things, which are unnatural. This body is superficial, So everything that goes along with us, the body is all superficial, but we're spending our whole day, our whole life, catering for the demands of the body, which we're not, nothing to do with it. So our life is, energy is wasted like that. This is called maya, or illusion. But if you don't know who you are, if there's no realization, what can you do? You've got to go along with it. You've got to admit that we're actually conditioned by this body. We're dependent on this body. At the present moment, we're dependent on the body. Essentially, we'll understand we're spiritual living entities. We belong in a spiritual world. We don't need the body. But right now, we don't know that. We don't know who we are. So, therefore, we generally just identify with the body and go along with the bodily demands of eating, sleeping, enjoying, and defending. That's what else goes on in the material world. Nothing. That's all it is. That's all that's going on in all of the species. So here, we're using the intelligence to analyze our situation. So we're dependent on this material nature in the form of, in different combinations of, forms, bodies, limbs, and for our vision, for our eating, for our hearing, for all these things. It's just different combinations of material nature. It's not actually me. This is what we're actually dealing with. So then, feeling, Prabhupada said, because we feel ourselves, we conclude like this, that we, the seer, is spiritual, because it's different from matter. We perceive that. We're different from matter. And that feeling, Prabhupada said, is the spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of material conditioned existence. I read it again. The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of materially conditioned existence. We're not satisfied with this existence. We're not free. We're forced to do these things. We may not want to do it. We usually, in the material sense, we usually don't think about it, you just go through the day. But when there's spiritual knowledge there, or spiritual awakening, or we've heard this, then we begin to look at it in a different perspective, from a perspective of different from the material world, the perspective of a spiritual living entity, a different energy, then we can see that this is actually very troublesome. This life is very troublesome, although we think it's not so bad, because we're conditioned, but actually it's very troublesome. You have to, it's a great endeavor to maintain this body. Every 6-8 hours you have to eat. It's a great endeavor to grow food, to cook the food, to digest the food, to empty it, to clean it, to do all these things. It's a great endeavor. You have to sleep. You have to get, and then you want some pleasure. You have to look for pleasure. You have to defend yourself. There's so many elements that are hostile. There's the mosquitoes, there's the heat, there's the cold, there's other living entities, snakes, scorpions, and now other things. Adiatma, Kari Devi, Kari Baldi, unlimited. It's not a very nice, comfortable situation when we think about it. But if we don't think about it, life's not so okay. Life's not so bad. Right? Accept the ups and the downs. Carry on. We will overcome soon. Sooner or later, we will overcome all these things and by science, technology. This is the promises given by the, and we just go along with it. But here, this is a wake-up call. This is for civilized human beings. Wake up. There's something else. So when you analyze it, you're feeling that dissatisfaction. I can't stop these problems coming. I'm dissatisfied with this state of existence. I can't do what I want. I want to be free. But I can't. Can't be free. I don't like these things. But they're there. So why are we feeling like this? It means you are free. That this inconvenience is unwanted and it's unnatural because nobody wants it. So it would indicate that you are free. You actually don't not supposed to suffer. Right? We are sat, we're eternal. That means we're not suffering. And we're chit, there's no ignorance. And everyone's searching for happiness. It would indicate that there's ananda. It's a natural inclination of everyone, every living entity. Nobody likes to suffer, no one. Everyone likes to enjoy, everyone. Nobody likes to be in ignorance, everyone likes to know everything. It's an indication that there is an existence like that. Right? Because everyone wants that. Nobody wants to suffer. Anyone? Suffering's unnatural. We feel that, because it is unnatural for the soul, you see. Soul doesn't suffer. The soul is never conditioned, although we call ourselves conditioned souls. The soul soul is different from matter. Soul can't be covered with matter, but we feel, we act, we talk like that, we're covered with matter. But the soul can't be covered with matter. Can't be, but we are identifying ourselves as the matter. Like a more powerful energy of Krishna's, Maya Shakti. But the soul is always pure. Krishna says soul cannot be dried, cannot be worn, is eternal. So what's going on? We're covered, we're illusioned. We think we're that. We're projecting our consciousness as soul. I am projecting my consciousness onto this body and onto everything else, and I'm identifying myself as part of it. I'm identifying this body as my identity. It's me. This is me. I am mine. This is a great mystic illusion that Krishna has given us. So this is the spiritual knowledge means clearing this fog, clearing this illusion that you're actually free. You are actually free spirit soul. But because of we're choosing to identify with this. We have no other choice. But now we have a choice, right? When you meet the devotee, you come into contact with the spiritual energy through the devotees. Now we have a choice. Otherwise there's no choice. You've got to go along with the material nature, material world. But now is a choice. If you want to take it, the choice is yours. The choice is still ours. We can accept it or we can... Prabhupada mentions that later in this purport. So, Prabhupada said that's the difference between spirit and matter. That matter, the association with matter is unsatisfactory. We're never comfortable. We always want to improve, don't we? We're always looking to improve. We're always looking towards the future to improve our situation. Because the physics of the material world is always breaking down. So it needs constant maintenance and upgrading. Right? It's okay when you're young and growing and in that kind of age, you don't worry about that thing. But actually everything is breaking down in the long-term picture, right? Everything is temporary. So that's what you're fighting against. We're eternal. We're fighting we're in a temporary body. And we're fighting to be eternal. We're struggling to be eternal. We're ananda, and we're fighting for happiness in a body that is giving us trouble. And we don't like this ignorance, because but this is our position. So it's a struggle, it's a hard struggle for existence. But only when you look at it from another perspective. When you're looking at relative to the material world, you think, well, I could be suffering a lot more, you know. I'm not living under the bridge in Howrah. I'm not one of these street dogs. It could be a lot worse. I'm not doing so bad. So we think like that. Although we're suffering, we see that someone else is suffering more than us, then that makes it all right. See, I'm not doing so bad. It could be a lot worse. So you settle for the second best, which is actually, you know, 10th best or 100th best. We don't know what the best is. So there's no standard of good. What is good and bad. The standard is the 14 planetary systems. And Krishna says they're all suffering. Abrahma, Bhuvana, Loka. But our standards are Swarga, Loka and Patala, Loka. So we're thinking this is very good, this is very bad. But Krishna says no, they're all bad. You're not fitting your true nature. You're not sat, you're not chit, you're not ananda in the material world. Wherever you go, it's all bad. So you can understand this only when you make that distinction between spirit and matter, between your actual real self. So this is it's still only philosophy. The realization is not there. We're only analyzing by intelligence, right? That's all. We still got to eat. We still got to sleep. We still got to defend ourselves. But anyway, we came to this by intelligence. And Prabhupada takes his opportunity to smash the scientists, etc. Some less intelligent argument that matter develops the power of seeing and moving, but he said, we're not going to accept that because it's no evidence. It's never, no evidence that it's ever happened. Although that's a modern theory, modern belief. It's completely, you know, opposite, averse to, it's a demoniac civilization, actually. In the name of, you know, trying to make everything nice, but actually it's demoniac because keeping us more and more entangled into this illusion that we are the ahamamati, that we are these bodies and we are the enjoyers and we are the controllers. So we come to this platform of understanding by intelligence, but then we also realize that we're nothing to do with this. But we also have to understand we're not the intelligence. We've concluded this. We've concluded we're different from the material energy by intelligence. But what is beyond that intelligence? I mean, we're out of the mind. We're out of the thinking, feeling, and willing. Because now we're just analysts, thinking and feeling, willing. That's the mind. That's the platform we generally live on. But in this analysis that we're doing, we're moving up into the area of intelligence. So, in the intelligence, but we understand it's intelligence. We understand we have intelligence. We're using intelligence. Where it comes from, that's another story. Whether it's coming from me, or whether it's coming from somebody else. But anyway, it's intelligence. But that intelligence is also not me. Right? So now we're stuck in the intelligence. And within intelligence, we can see the mechanism of the world of life. But okay, so now we come, now we're stuck on the intelligence platform, but we understand I'm getting this intelligence from somewhere, but there must be a greater intelligence than me. So even if that intelligence is coming from me, when I see all these other animate living beings, I mean matter that is filled with life, I'm not doing that. Right? It's nothing to do with me. It's going on without me. And all these different forms of life, they seem to be in the same position as me. They seem to be illusioned as well as I am. So we got to admit that it's not. There's someone greater than us. There's a greater mastermind behind this. There's someone else who's beyond all this. Because with that intelligence I'm getting, where is it coming from? I'm using that intelligence, but where is it coming from? So you got to accept a superior intelligence. There has to be a superior intelligence, and who must be given the ability to all of the living entities that are in illusion. So it's not me, and it's not anyone else, because we're all in illusion together. So where is that? So there must be a superior intelligence. So now we've come to the by intelligence. We've understood that we are the, you know, we're different from the body, and also that there's someone superior to us. So that's how you analyze by intelligence that there is a God, that you are a spirit soul, you're different from matter, and there is a more powerful intelligence, call it God or whatever, but we have to admit that we're dependent Because we're also dependent on intelligence. Right? If there's no intelligence, then we become mad. Right? Intelligence is taken away. So we're also dependent on that intelligence. So obviously, we're not intelligence. We're something else. And that intelligence is supplied by somebody else. So, Sri Prabhupada said, then, at this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activity are conditioned by arrangements of material nature. Yet, we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving, I am doing. That's our feeling, right? I am doing, I am perceiving this. Therefore, we can say that our material sense of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body. This, I'll say it again. We realize that we're conditioned by this arrangement of the material nature, but we say, I am doing, I am seeing, I am walking. Right? So, he says, therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying ourselves with this matter. Because matter doesn't move by itself, as we discussed. Matter needs a life principle. So we've discussed with that life principle, it's moving because of us, at least on this smaller scale. But it's moving because of our endeavor, our desire, my desire. That's promoting it. Of course, the super soul or the material modes of nature, they're actually doing the moving. We can't move one atom. But the energy is moved by the modes of nature under the direction of the super soul according to our karma, according to our desires. Then we're allowed to move this way, that way, achieve this, achieve that, according to our karma, by the sanction of the super soul. This is beyond us, but but the idea is that we can conclude that because I'm identifying with the material body, therefore I say I am doing this, I am achieving this, I am reading this book. And then we conclude that the superior principle or the super soul is guiding us and supplying us according to our desire. We stepped in that. So now you can continue to put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or you can choose to remain in material consciousness. Fancying ourselves to be the controllers and enjoyers. So Prabhupada said, our freedom consists in orienting our desires either towards the ignorant material misconception or the true spiritual conception. That's your actual choice. That's the real only choice we have, a meaningful choice in life. We can direct our consciousness to the material world or the spiritual world. That's the real question. That's the real choice we make. So we can understand that Prabhupada says, it's not so simple to understand that there is a God and you are a spiritual thing. Now, for more, you can go further. Prabhupada says you can even go further than this. As far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion there are three identities, namely spirit, matter, and super spirit. Right? Super soul. Okay. Now, he said, then you go to the scripture, you can find out, it's already written there, and the names are given, and the terminology is given, and all this description is given. And you can understand that who you are, who does that intelligence belong to, what is he, the super soul. But then it will tell you more, but understanding more than the Paramatma. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that's only a partial representation of the Supreme of God. We can conclude by saying, you know, if we understand God, then we say God is great. So he can't just be an order supplier for us. If that's the function of God, as we know Him, He's given intelligence how to act, right, in this world. If that's His only function, then hey, it's not a very complete God, right? That's all He does is just give intelligence. What about His life? What does He do? Is that all He does? It's not very interesting being that kind of God. No. So that can't be the complete Godhead, form of Godhead. It's a partial representation. So this you can understand. It can't just be an order supplier. What kind of life is that? Being an order supplier. What kind of God is that? No, He's a supreme enjoyer. So therefore this order supplier aspect is just an expansion of the... So you can even conclude further that there is a greater aspect of God rather than this. That you'll have to go to scripture for. That you'll have to go to the sadhus for. And then the understanding is already there. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he has these various expansions, right? Ram and Narayan and Vaikunthanath. Then he has into the material world, he enters as a super soul, does his little bit in the material world. So then you can understand the complete picture. What is your relationship with him? And the process for re-establishing that relationship, that you'll have to go to the scripture, you have to go to Guru for that. But at least as far as, Prabhupada says, at least as far as the your own intelligence, you can come to this conclusion by the use of intelligence. by analysts. So Prahlad is instructing his friends, he's given these nice examples of how to understand it. He's given a graphic picture of material life, you know. How it's not when you strip away the tinsel, it's not what the storybook says, it's not such a great life. And now he's given more technical stuff of the difference between the soul, the actual living being, and the body. But he said to his friends, you can understand also something you can't understand just because you're born in demoniac families. I understood. I'm born in a demoniac family, Balas says. He said, no, you simply have faith in my words. That's what I did. I have faith in the words of Narada Muni. And I've understood that by being faithful to him, it means devotional, then I've understood this knowledge. The revelation has come. So this is the process. You become faithful. You become a devotee of the Lord or His devotee. Then the revelation takes place by the super soul within the heart. But it's your external activity of agreeing to be favorable towards the Lord, agreeing to not be a competitor of the Lord, agreeing to agree that this world is not meant for my enjoyment. It's not meant for my enjoyment. It's meant for my rectification, and everything actually is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Why would he bother to take enjoyment in this insignificant material world? Although when he comes here, he enjoys. But he doesn't come here to enjoy it. Why should he? When he comes here, he enjoys. No doubt. Right? We see his pastimes. Full of pleasure. But he doesn't come here to enjoy it. He is a spiritual world. Why do you come to this horrible place to squeeze some... He's fully satisfied. But he comes here for his devotees and to have some different flavors of... experience some different flavor of devotion. That way he comes to enjoy it with the devotees. But otherwise, it's really there's no need of a material creation. That the need of the material creation is to correct us. That's otherwise no purpose. If we're not deviant from the Lord's program, there wouldn't be a material world in the first place. So it's for our benefit that it's here to straighten us up, turn us round, and put us back on the correct path. So these are the instructions that Pallad is giving. He said, "You just hear me with faith." He's saying, "You can also have this same understanding. That's all it requires." And that's a qualification in this Kali Yuga, that there actually one can't become qualified by oneself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the qualification, has named the qualification, and that is faith. Otherwise you're not going to become qualified. You're not going to control your mind. Let's face it. Anyone control their mind here? Anyone trying? Not easy thing. You're not going to come to the platform of Sudha Sattva. Highly unlikely in this lifetime. Highly unlikely. We don't see many people achieve that platform. Highly unlikely. So, by what method are you going to become Vasudeva, self-realized? Nothing works in Kali Yuga. So Mahaprabhu says, you have faith. You chant Hare Krishna. Have faith in chanting Hare Krishna. Have faith in this process of Sankirtan, and I will deliver you. You're not qualified. You don't deserve it. But if you have faith in it, then I'll deliver you. That's all. Because we can't do anything else. So, Pallad is saying, you have faith in me, what I'm saying, and you can have. The Prabhupada said, this is a microphone. He said, the baby, he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know the mechanics of the microphone. But if the father tells him, this is microphone, and the baby says, this is microphone, then his knowledge is perfect. He may not know the mechanics, but then again, nor do we. But he knows it's a microphone because he's heard from his father told him, he has faith in his father, and he repeats. Microphone, perfect knowledge. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have faith in that. Prabhupada said, if God is great, I am small, I am his servant. He said, that is actually self-realization. Not a big thing. But then, if you're his servant, we should act as servant. Not the master. And when one acts, Prabhupada said, self-realization means when one acts as a prakriti and not purusha. He said, that is liberation. That is self-realization. When you act as prakriti, not as a purusha. So this is subject matter we'll go on for the next week or so. We'll hear more about it. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Gopinandi. Hare Krishna. It's over time, but if anyone wants to answer a question, I'm willing. Otherwise, free to leave.
Yes, I have a question about the intelligence. I have a question about intelligence, that when we go to sleep, this switch is off. So, and then it's just a mess.
Intelligence?
No. When you go to sleep,
yes,
everything is clear now. The lecture is clear. But when you go to sleep, the intelligence switches off and then everything again is a mess.
What switches off?
When you go to sleep, the intelligence switches off.
Okay, maybe, yeah.
And then everything, which is now clear, becomes a jumble.
You mean, when you're sleeping, then you're on you go on the mental platform?
Yeah.
So because there's no intelligence, it's not working, then you're all over the place. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, I'm like that when I drink. You're from one situation to another, but you don't question how did I get here from there. You just carry on with that situation, and suddenly it's a completely different scenario, and you just, right? There's no reasoning generally in the dream. Sometimes you question, but rarely.
What's the cure?
Huh?
What is the cure?
What is
the cure?
The cure?
Yes.
No, when you're in a dream world, there's no cure. There's no cure for dreaming. It's like when you're in illusion now, what's the cure? This is our daydream. And that's a night dream. So it's a question, you can't cure it, you have to wake up to a higher reality. It means more realization. You get out of it, you don't cure it. You get out of the mental world, out of the intelligent world, and into the spiritual, or out of the hankara world and into the spiritual world. They exist, they're always here, and there's always a chance for us to come here or leave it. So therefore, we need direction, but the dream world is also real, it's a reality. As far as we're concerned, it's a reality. Right? The experience is real.
Yes.
When you're in the dream, it's real, for sure. You don't think otherwise. You don't think I'm dreaming. You don't apply your logic and intelligence. It's real. It's a dream world. You're in an imaginary world. But for you, for us, it's real. So when we wake up, we think this is reality. This is another daydream, Prabhupada said. When one is self-realized, liberated from this illusion, then one sees these things properly, then he understands this is like a dream also. But you've got to, from that point, you more or less have to, you're still in the dream, you're in the body, and you have to wait till you leave the body before you can actually get your perfection. But you can live in the dream, but understand it's a dream. That's self-realization. But you're not part of the dream. You realize you're not part of the dream. You're acting in a way that is not binding to the dream. It means that you have proper understanding, knowledge, and in our case, we'd be performing devotional service, which is the platform of liberation. So you'd be in the dream, you'd be using all the elements here, but you'll be connecting everything with Krishna. So therefore you wouldn't be actually affected by the dream, although the body is going to go through the changes, you're going to get old, sick and die, and then, but then you get your, so you've got to wait for the body to go, really to get your perfection. So you can't cure it, you can't cure the dream, you can't cure the life, you just got to get out of it. It's here, the different states are there, different states of consciousness are there. They're always there in the material world, you see. So that's why it's a futile endeavor for all these, you know, these great, you know, world reformers and plan makers, material ones. They've all got these big ideas to make it nice here. It's not meant to be nice. Okay? Krishna's made it like that. It's not supposed to be nice. They have the idea, no, we'll make it nice. So they all fail. 100%. Because they're determined. Nobody likes to hear that human life is meant for austerity. Hey, who wants to hear that? And you're not going to be very popular in the material world nowadays. Human life is meant for austerity. Come on, it's meant for enjoying, right? Everyone knows that. It's meant for enjoying. Human life is meant for inquiring about the absolute truth. But the human life is one of duty, one of responsibility. But who cares about these things? Now, human life is meant for enjoyment. That's all. So this is the illusion we're under. The body we place in this body, it's great suffering for the soul, suffocating in here, being dragged around the universe, running after the demands of this body, which we're not here to do with. Therefore, we're not experiencing our actual the real life, the real life of freedom, Satchitananda, in the spiritual world. We're busy. No, we will. Success in life is staying one step ahead of suffering. That's success. You eat before you're hungry. You sleep before you're tired. You put your jumper on before it gets cold. Then you're called successful. You got money in the bank and you got food in the fridge for breakfast. You're successful. One step ahead. One step ahead, that's all. Otherwise it's suffering. You just manage to get one step ahead of suffering. Therefore, you're successful. That's it. Is it? And then what happens? Then you go fall off the edge of the cliff. What is the future? Just one step ahead of the problem behind you. Adiatmik, Adi Devik, Adi Baltic, Durga, on a tiger, get back. Go back to Godhead, will you, you rascal. Go back. No, no, I'm one step ahead, I'm one step ahead. I'm controlling. See, she can't catch me. And what is at the end? Boom. Death. Fall off the edge. Then you start again. No, this time I'll do it. This time I'll do it. Durga. Yes, I am fool number one.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji, for a nice class. Actually, in one part of time you explained about that soul cannot be covered. Soul cannot be covered.
What can be covered?
Soul cannot be covered.
Soul cannot be
it's
covered.
It's like our illusion that we feel that we are covered.
We're covered.
But like in my scenario, I am feeling that yes, I am covered. Like this body I have received and now I'm suffering due to all these things. So I'm not able to understand that how it is illusion.
How is illusion?
Can you little bit explain about that?
Mamamai, Krishna's illusion. He's put his he's done the magic. He's taken away remembrance of him. That's the first thing he does. Right? So there's no Krishna. There's no service to Krishna. There's no eternal life of full knowledge and bliss. So this is what you wake up to. Now you've got to make the best use of this bad bargain. There's no Krishna, there's no devotional service, there's no sat, there's no chit, there's no ananda. So you've got to work with what you got. Oh, here. This is the first thing, right? Yes, me. And then there's a suffering. There's a suffering sensation. Pain in the belly. Mother comes, give you some food. Nice. Get some strength, some nourishment. Oh, nice. Life's not so bad. Like that. Then this mother, she's nice. This other one who pinches me, that is bad. So we go like that, and then we make friends and enemies, and we go through life like thinking yourself the body and the enjoyer. Because there's some relief, we do get some relief sometimes, we think, yeah, there's a possibility of having relief all the time. We can control. In the future, we will do it. Just got to be smart. It's a promise, right? But does anyone do that? Is anyone successful in the material world? No, but they're all trying. Everyone wants to be the controller and enjoy it. Krishna's covered us with the illusion. you want a world without me, or you want to be like me here, you know, material world? He's taken away that remembrance that we're the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? So we're in ignorance. We don't know who we are. So if I can be anyone, if I don't know who I am, but I can be anyone, let me be on top. Right? You like to be on top? No. You're so humble. You're so humble or a liar. Everyone wants to be on top. Right? Right? Sports, politics, entertainment, everyone wants to be on top. Huh? Natural. In my end, then you're... We had that Ishwara Bhava. When you're on top, everyone's looking at me. I'm famous. Everyone's worshipping me. Almost God. Almost God. Being worshipped. So that's what we want, isn't it? It's not a God. Let me be. Let me have that top place. So you're looking for it. I'm looking for it. She's looking for it. How do you expect peace in a world like this? Everyone's looking for the same position. And the joke is, no one can have it. Krishna's already got it. So because of that forgetfulness of who you are, so therefore there's no direction in life. The dream comes like the dreams. Anything can happen. No direction, no standard, you see. I want to enjoy. I don't want to suffer. So I'll do that at any cost, according to my culture, at any cost. Beg, borrow, steal. If I have to tread on somebody, then so be it. Right? The law ends up with the law of the jungle. Might makes right. Survival is the most important thing, right? To exist. The survival is the first principle. You've got to survive at the cost of anything. My life is more important than anyone else's life. Right? Isn't it? Your life is more important than anyone else's? Yes? Huh?
You feel like that, that you feel my like life that. Is more important than others.
Yeah. Well, that's the mentality. If you don't exist, nothing has any meaning. Right? If I don't exist, there's no meaning to anything. So everything has meaning because of me. As far as we're concerned, right? Everything has meaning because I exist. So I'm the most important thing. Without me, there's no meaning to anything. Therefore, I am the most important thing. This is how we think. Without me, if I don't exist, there's no meaning to anything. So life is meaningful because of me. Therefore, I'm Amma. So we take it, want to take that, but we want to control the situation because we're not satisfied here. We haven't found the right situation. We're still confused and lost. So we're trying materially to resolve the material problem. There's no material solution. But because we can do a little bit, now we can invent a fan and a building and protect ourselves from the environment, this is advanced. But, you know, the sun is there. It just comes a few degrees hotter, the whole building will melt. You know, we have a little, we think we do a little bit, but what we're up against, how can you control that material nature? That's the main part of your life. It's just moving, staying one step ahead of Maya, staying out of trouble, eating, sleeping, going to the bathroom, bathing. They're all caused, if you don't do them, you're going to suffer pain. If you don't do them, you'll suffer. Right? So most of your life is just doing that, just getting the status quo. Most of your life. Right? You go to work in the morning, you come home in the evening. 6 days a week, 5 days a week, 7 days a week. What is that for? That's just to stay out of trouble, to get some money to make you secure. That's just your defense, defending. Whole day, sun is going down. And you think life is great. The whole day you spent working so you can keep the problems away. Your real business is to enjoy it. That's what you want. Nobody wants to work all day. You want to enjoy it. But you can't enjoy it when you've got this threat looming over us. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, heat, cold, enemies. You can't enjoy it when that's there. You've got to address it and put it away. Move away from it. Then you can turn and enjoy it peacefully. Otherwise you can't peacefully enjoy it. So that's most of your life is doing that. Most of your life. But you say life is not so bad. Life is nice. But most of your life is still in that. You don't see it. People don't see it. So that's the problem. So this Bhagavatam is telling us to wake up to the, and this Guru is telling us, wake up to the reality. You're actually a free, uncovered soul. But because we're facing the material energy and thinking how to exploit it or control it and how to enjoy it, then we're trapped. Then we are, because we're identifying as part of it. We're consciously going, just like when you're going in, you don't consciously go into dream, but we're kind of forced into that, but we're making that decision. You can make the decision. If you have knowledge, that is, you can make the decision to stay in the to address this material world, how to control it, and how to be free from it, or how to enjoy it. Sorry, how to be free from it and how to enjoy it. or you can address your spiritual real life of knowledge and bliss in the spiritual world. So where you put your consciousness, then you'll go like that. You'll get a particular situation like that. Whatever you think at the time of death, Krishna says, that state you'll surely attain. So because we find the material energy so overwhelming that we have to address it. We can't just live our life and ignore it, which is what we're supposed to. That's what the self-realized souls do. They go about their business and they just tolerate whatever comes. They don't try to push it away, and they don't try to get it closer, the good and the bad. They don't do that. That's Maya's trick. Maya's not forcing us. Maya just presents the situation. She presents fearful side and she presents the attractive side. And we're saying yes and no. She's not doing it, right? She's not forcing us. We're making that choice. Yes or no? Go, I like it, I don't like it. I like it how to get it, I don't like it how to escape from it, how to protect myself. You're dealing with the material energy. Consciousness is material consciousness. So therefore you stay here. It's what you're dealing with. You're trying to overcome the material, so you get another chance. So you have to become indifferent from that. The karmis, they want to enjoy it. The gyanis, they want to become free from it or control it. The bhaktas, they be indifferent to it. We have service to Krishna. We know what to do in the world, so we'll do that. And we'll be indifferent to it. We're not trying to avoid the unpleasantries, and we're not trying to get the nice, go towards the nice parts of it. that's liberation. As soon as you interface, then there's a reaction. Either side, spiritual or material. So your actual choice, where do you focus your consciousness? That's your actual choice. That's the choice we make. And there's a reaction for either one. So we have to hear, because we think this material energy has to be addressed, so therefore we have to hear more and more, have proper knowledge of what the material energy is. We becomes exposed for what it is. We think there's some shelter, we think there's some happiness. That illusion has to go away. It takes a long time because we're so conditioned, because there is a little happiness. And there is a little feeling of security. She gives a little. Right? So therefore we're convinced, no, there is some, but I know how to get it on a consistent level. That's our program. She gives a little bit of relief, a little bit of happiness. So it's there. We know it. We've tasted it. It works. So how to do that consistently. That's our program. We have faith. We have faith in that there's a chance to do it. So that illusion has to go. So you've got to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing it again and again, because we're attached to the idea. Attached to the idea with the bodies, with the doers, with the joyers. It doesn't go away overnight. So. But the soul is always free if Maya has not captured him. We're voluntary going to Maya. We're voluntary approaching Maya. We're trying to manipulate Maya or trying to enjoy Maya. Maya's just presenting the situation. So whose fault is it? So that's why it says we're covered. We're illusion. We are illusion. But in essence, there's no illusion there. It's just that somehow or other we've chosen to focus on the illusion. And we become part of the illusion. We identify ourselves as part of the illusion. So now you have to focus the other way. Focus on reality and become part of the reality. Eternal servant of Krishna. And that's your practice, how to do it. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Rise early in the morning, take bath, put on tilak, remember Krishna, chant his names, go to the temple, see the deity, dance, chant. Chant his names, worship Tulsi, worship the devotees, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, take prasadam. 24 hours like this. It's a scientific process that we follow. The whole externals are just to get you to switch the consciousness back. If you can switch the consciousness back immediately, that's your success. But because we can't do it, because we feel, I have to address this material energy. I have to address this desire. This desire for safety, and this desire for enjoyment, to enjoy it. We feel they're very important, like they need addressing, so we can't. So therefore you've got all these other external things to keep you busy 24 hours a day, so you have no time for that. But the idea is, and that will purify your consciousness also, but the idea is that it's a consciousness, you have to say no to Maya, today or tomorrow, and yes to Krishna. But when are you going to say no to Maya, and when are you going to say yes to Krishna? That's your choice. Prabhupada said it could take a million years or one moment. We've got to come to that point. So in the meantime, this Vaidhi Sadhana is the best situation to keep yourself in, till you can come to that point of saying yes, yes, yes to Krishna. Okay. Jaya Sri Prabhupada ki jaya.